Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah.
You do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
I love my hometown as much as Motown, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Football Ramble on Football Ramble Daily. Liverpool beat Spurs again. Palace dropped points at Arsenal and Leicester kept a clean sheet at Southampton. Do you see what I did there?
Was it good?
Kind of.
Very, very solid performance at the back by Leicester. I think that's probably been forgotten.
In tough conditions.
Yeah.
I'm Marcus Speller, Jim Campbell, Pete Donaldson, and Portsmouth fan Luke Moore is here.
That match just seems such a long time ago, because we were obviously doing a live show on the evening, and I just think that we shouldn't talk about it, because it's such a long time ago.
We're still doing it.
Such a long time ago.
Yeah, we're still doing it.
It feels irrelevant now, doesn't it?
Luke
what more can be said?
Luke Moore, does the expression dog with two dicks?
Well, I won't go into too much detail, because I know you're covering it on this week's Blizzard Greatest Games. So, on Saturday. Or at least I'm covering it personally to make sure you do. But no, yeah, I have to say, I'm here in a professional capacity today.
Of course you are.
Not as a Portsmouth fan.
Very big smile.
But if I take that professional hat off and put my Portsmouth fan hat on, it's got a bell on it, big clown hat, it was greeted by some enjoyment by me when I saw it.
Well, they equaled the biggest win in Prem history, but the win was the biggest ever victory by an away side in the English top flight
ever
in a league match in the 131 history of the Football League.
That's amazing, isn't it?
Right?
Amazing.
Big scores used to be fairly common, didn't they?
As we know,
back in the old CP
days. That is amazing.
In
131 years, that's incredible.
And
you know, there's a couple of things, I think it was Jamie Carragher who said, because obviously I watched the game back. Jamie Carragher said, at some point when you get these big results or these big defeats, it becomes less about the attacking team and more about the defending team. Because there's that tipping point, isn't there? You go 4-5-0 up, and then it's very much depends on what the defending team behave like. And you have to say, I mean, this is not going to carry any weight coming from me for obvious reasons, but it was kind of disgraceful the way they conduct themselves. And I did actually feel genuinely very sorry for Ralph Hasenhüttl afterwards. One, for two reasons. One, because he looked shell-shocked, as you'd expect, and looked very upset. And he's obviously a very highly rated manager. And there can be no doubt that if he walked away today, he would go into another good job.
He kept them up last season.
People like him, and he's very highly respected in the game, of course. Secondly, who's the last person you want to see grinning across his face, walking up to you after that? Fucking Jeff Shreves. You had to do 3.5 minutes with Jeff Shreves afterwards.
Man. Imagine how long that feels.
In many ways, that's worse than the game.
Think about it, right? If you just won the lottery... And I don't know, we've just been given your own chat show and blah, 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 and everything was great. And then they said, oh, can you just talk to Jeff Shreves for a minute? It would drag you down.
Yeah. That's right. Real insight into your ambitions, that.
Sorry, you've just been given your own chat show.
You've just won a nice new car, whatever you want. Someone's paid off your mortgage or your rent for that, whatever.
Let's get things straight with Marcus Speller.
Okay, let's move on then. You're pissed all over that. But Jeff Shreve, an awful man. But yeah. I think that also the last thing you want as a Southampton fan as well is for Jamie Vardy to have the right to reply. Well,
and that's the other thing about it that's definitely bears kind of revisiting is the desire and intent to make a statement on Leicester's part. I think it was Marcus, as you just pointed out, I think after the eighth goal, they're getting the ball up.
Yeah.
Going, grabbing the ball and trying to score more.
My highlight of that attitude was after Jamie Vardy's second goal, which might have been the sixth or seventh, we obviously lost count of what happened when. As soon as he put it in, Ozzy Perez smashed it back into the net. It's like, hey, it doesn't count, but let's bang it back in there.
they might not be able to keep up.
Well, when they were sort of 5 or 6, Johnny Evans was saying, hang on, we could go for the record here.
Yeah.
And my goodness, didn't they want it? Every goal they scored. Now, I know one or two people have said, well, hang on, I don't want to get into this, but why were they celebrating every goal when the US women were criticised? I think it's a fair comparison, although I think it's slightly different. But Vardy...
Ayoze Perez scored.
Exactly, yeah. Ayoze
Perez. Fudging his numbers.
Well, he's got to celebrate everyone he gets. But Vardy, I think, had been given a bit of stick from the home fans.
Yeah.
And
why would you do that?
I know. Learn. Yeah. Like flipping, chant his name in an affectionate way. Yeah, if anything. Yeah. But he was like, even when he scored the ninth, he put his finger to his lips and said, "Oh, you're a bit quiet now." Yeah. And I'll tell you why that's funny. That kind of gives you a little look into Jamie Vardy, is because he's not saying, it's 9-0. He's basically, I've scored.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Every kind of, that is a classic case of, we've scored, right, 0-0.
Yeah, the top,
the same
top,
job, same job.
The top strikers that won't care if it's a winner in the last minute to win 1-0 or if it's the ninth goal on a 9-0 route. They just want to score.
Evans pointing at the ball as well.
Yeah.
Come on, get on with it.
We've only got two hat tricks in the team.
Can we all agree that when you lose in that manner at home, it's nothing to do with the coach. It's to do with the players, because whatever tactics you stick out there, you'd expect them to give a decent account of themselves. And on the celebration thing, I don't propose we go into this in great detail unless you guys want to, of course, but it is very different to the US women's team, because these are two teams plying their trade in the same league. Yeah. They've got roughly the same resources, and they're going out there playing a competitive game. The US and against the Thai women's in the World Cup, it's night and day. I mean, the advancement of the game in the country in general, the level of the players, the level of recompense, all the rest of it. So I do think it is vastly different. I don't think there's anything wrong at all with celebrating as many goals as you like in a league fixture. And that's perfectly reasonable. Yeah. But I wonder what happened at half-time with Southampton, because obviously they went in 5-0 down? And the old adage about the manager saying to them, look, game's gone now, we're down to 10 men, but we are at home, we're in front of our own supporters, we need to try and win this second half, we need to get to come out of it with a draw. And they were just as bad in the second half. I mean, it was obviously it was embarrassing, but it kind of, I wonder if it's one of those things on the Monday where he goes into the work again, Hasenhüttl, and thinks, I don't know if I know these players as well as I thought I knew them, because they've probably undone quite a lot of hard work. And it's easy to forget, this were a team who were performing way below their level under the last coach, and Hasenhüttl came in and kind of sorted them out. But if they're going to down tools like that in such a manner, it's really worrying for them. They're in the relegation zone as it is.
I think part of that, though, comes from the fact that normally when you see these sort of results, the attacking team ease off a bit in the second half, unless they very pointedly and decidedly didn't do that. They were, as you say, Marcus, they were out to go for the record
yeah.
because they are a team like that, aren't they? They're trying to make a lot of noise because it suits them. You know, Leicester are such an entertaining side, like on and off the pitch so but often.
They should
and,
be aiming for third, as we said.
Well exactly. So goal difference might make a difference. They probably, you know, they were effectively in a hen house, weren't they, at that point? So just tearing up everything they can. One person I would love to have seen after the game would be Ryan Bertrand. Like at that point, he just must have thought, are you all mental? Yeah. Like, I mean, I'm sorry I get sent off, but come on.
I shouldn't make that much of a difference.
I'm actually a really good player.
I'm holding
we're a one-man team.
There's a good opportunity for Southampton to get back on the horse, though, because next game they're away at Man City. And then they follow that, Jim, they follow that with a game away at Man City. So something to look forward to, I think.
In backstage, what show was it? Leeds or Newcastle?
Newcastle.
We were already in Newcastle.
Just backstage, the mask of professionalism had dropped from Luke's face, and he went incredibly tribal for about 5 minutes.
In the interval, I was like, "Say to Charlie, get that game on a stream in here now. Get it on here now. I cannot miss this." I watched it back anyway, guys. Don't worry.
Why not?
You were so happy. You were angry. It was it was weird.
I'll tell you something.
There's apparently no danger of Hasenhüttl losing a job or leaving or anything, apparently.
Well, I wouldn't
latest, so. That's the latest news.
But what, I mean, what is Pep Guardiola going to say to Nathan Redmond then when they play them? Why did you start? I mean, he nearly scored at, what, 6 or 7-0 or something, so maybe Guardiola enjoyed that, I don't know. So Southampton fans, we're going to move on now. We're going to move on.
Well, hang on a minute.
Okay.
Bristol Rovers too.
Well, I mean, that's it was championship kind of stuff from Leicester City there. Let's move on then to Liverpool 2.
They're on the verge.
Spurs 1. Well, Liverpool win, so they stay 8 points above Brendan Rodgers, Leicester City, and 6 above Pepe G and his gang. Mm. But it's important for Liverpool because when Leicester are winning games like that, Liverpool are going to have to keep on winning.
Put the frighteners up them.
Indeed. And I think Jordan Henderson epitomised that when he knew the situation. So he scored his first goal at Anfield since December 2015.
Oh, wow.
Which is quite... It's quite
a fortunate goal, I thought, bouncing over. The player.
He took it well, but it bounced over.
Yeah.
I don't know. I couldn't see by the replay whether it came off his actually.
It was a bit of a shinner, didn't it?
Yeah.
But I think he's deliberately hitting it into the ground. And whenever anyone does that, you're opening up the whole, I'm going to say chaos vortex, because I don't know what else to say. It's definitely not that. But, you know, you're deliberately trying to make it difficult for the keeper, aren't you? That's it. That
guided
that's
it into the net quite nicely. Yeah. Spurs straight out the traps. I mean, it was a better performance from Spurs overall.
Harry Kane is a Christopher Guest level improviser. Like that was that was fantastic. The finish there, the forethought to just be ready for such a strange situation. Well done, him.
Well, and you think
the reaction was amazing.
It was. You think about the Sun chance, 2-0 off the bat. No, Liverpool had them.
That was harder than I think he's been given credit for. That it was very wide.
Absolutely. I think the point I'm making is that a few inches and it would have been 2-0. Although Mane missed a good chance, blah blah blah. But it was much better. Gazzaniga was great in goal, but it was a lot better from Spurs. So I think Spurs fans, after the sort of the Red Star win and then that game,
do you think it was a lot better?
Yes.
Okay.
Well, when I say a lot better, it was you can definitely see it was a better performance than what they've been putting in, because had they have played Liverpool away, I know, a few weeks ago, the intensity of their performance was better. Obviously, they lost the game, so they was going to be a bit disappointed. Yeah, but
the penalty was mad, wasn't it?
Oh, it was definite penalty.
Yeah, it was.
I can't believe people
the clumsiness
who were
saying of it. Like he's got his legs tangled up.
Have you never seen Aurier play before? The man is a walking.
Roy Keane referring to the fullbacks as dumb and dumber. I thought that was a bit
harsh.
Yeah,
surprisingly unoriginal from Roy.
Yeah, but Aurier is an absolute liability.
Oh yeah,
he's a liability.
Of course he's. It's very rare that you see a player get his legs tangled up in another player.
Yeah,
it looked a bit kind of clumsy before he booted Mane.
But the way it happened though. Obviously, as you say, he booted Mane because he pulled his leg back to clear the ball.
Yeah.
But it was like in a second, he had completely forgot Mane was even there.
Yeah.
You can't let a player leave your vision and think, oh, well, I can't see him. He's not there anymore.
You have to be a bit more flexible than that, because quite clearly, he obviously didn't see him, as you say, and he just thought, right, I'm just going to clear this. And I'm amazed that there's a debate that if that's a penalty or not, because obviously he didn't mean to kick Mane.
Yeah, it doesn't matter.
Pochettino hilariously said, I think I am happy with him.
Yeah. I thought it was a bit. I mean, it's a clear penalty, whether he means that or not. He smashed the back of his calves. Mm. I mean, we suggested, or I certainly did, that Mane, the one against Leicester, I didn't think that was a penalty. That one, come on.
Yeah, that is.
Come on.
I'm surprised there's a debate. I didn't know there was a debate.
Yeah, okay, fine.
Some people are piping up, are they? Yeah. People will do that, though, won't they?
People.
Yeah.
I mean,
just the reason I asked you a question about whether you genuinely thought Spurs were a lot better, and I suppose on one level I do sort of agree because they worked really hard and they stayed in the game.
Yeah.
But Gazzaniga was brilliant. He made so many good saves.
Very nearly got an assist as well if Son had put that away.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Son was great. And they kind of. They pressed a lot harder than we've seen. I mean, they went through a phase, didn't they, of pressing for like 40 minutes, mm-hmm. then taking their foot off the gas and getting undone. That didn't happen. They stayed in the game.
For 90, then.
But they conceded a lot of possession to Liverpool, which I guess maybe you'd expect at home. But I also thought the selection from Pochettino was a bit odd. I mean, I think you've got to have Ndombele in there. You have to pick him. I think he has to play every game.
He came on, I think.
He did come on, yeah. But he has to. For me, he has to start every game, or every game he's available for. Eriksen was abysmal. Like, I mean, he doesn't look interested at all. He's clearly going to be off. I don't know why. Maybe it's because Lo Celso has not fully match fit yet. And obviously Lamella's injured again. So maybe he felt like he had no choice.
Mm.
You know, you could possibly say that Ndombele, but he played 90 minutes on Tuesday against Red Star. Well, so did Sissoko, and he played the whole game. Pochettino's got a weird blind spot of bedding in new signings really, really slowly.
Mm.
And he doesn't seem to want to deviate from that, which is the only reason I can think of why Ndombele is not playing. And I would also play Juan Foyth. I don't know, is he not available? Is he not fit? I mean, because he wasn't even in the squad. To me, he's got to be someone now who's got to be considered. He's got to play. And he can play at right back. And I think he'd be a far more solid option than Aurier. Mm. I think Foyth has played right back for Argentina this season, I think.
Well, maybe Aurier's, he's got a bit of pace, you know, so he's thinking about that Liverpool front three, but, you know, on reflection with the way the penalty went and so on.
Did you hear...
it's a fair question.
It's his decisions, though. I mean, Aurier's decisions, and that's what gets him in trouble.
No,
Did you hear Klopp's reaction to the performance?
He loved it.
He said, "Today we played so good. I really liked it."
Yeah.
I think...
He's all right when they win.
I know. But it did feel a bit to me like, perhaps it's premature to say this, but it did feel a bit to me like, hey, this is the kind of performance like a title winning team put in.
Yes.
They go a goal down early, quite unfortunately, but they grind their way through it. I mean, someone like Henderson, there's been talk of him spending a bit of time out the side. He pops up with a really important goal, his first for ages, as you say, and they grind out a win. You think, that's the kind of thing that champions do, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. I thought that very much as well. It was a good win for Liverpool. And Mane's penalty, it was funny to see a goalkeeper stay there.
Salah's penalty.
Yeah,
Salah. Mane won the penalty. Salah's penalty. It's funny when you see a goalkeeper stand there, and then when the penalty isn't hit in the corner, you think, "Oh, you could have got it." But then, of course, it's so simple to say that because you really have to kind of. You can't react to the penalty being taken. I think that's
no, but that's the thing. It happened with the Milivojevic penalty as well against Arsenal. I will come on to talk about that, but. If you, it's two schools of thought. If you think he's looked what the keeper's doing with his body weight and he's put it the other way, or you can say he's a bit fortunate there because that was at a nice height for the keeper. Mm. And if a keeper just goes the right way, he saves that. Because it was quite hot, about 3 feet off the ground, the traditional, in quotes, height for
a
keeper.
I think Salah's was along the ground. Yeah.
But I really like Gazzaniga, by the way, as well. I don't want that to go unsaid. I know some people think he's a bit hot and cold, but whenever I've seen him, he's been fantastic.
I think this is a really good chance for him to stake a claim to keep that position as well, because obviously Lloris is going to be out for a while, and he does have mistakes in him. We've seen that from Lloris, and it has cost Spurs a lot of times in the past. Obviously, he's a very good goalkeeper, but Gazzaniga has got to look at this as, you know what, there's a lot of change happening at Spurs, and this might be an opportunity for him to really nail down that position as his own.
Should he start playing like little tricks on Lloris?
I could not encourage that enough. Yeah. And
bucket,
other players in the squad.
Say again?
Bucket on doors.
Yeah.
Fake chewing gum.
Yeah.
Changing all the names in his phone.
Hot sweets.
Yeah. Changing his wife's number for his dad's number.
Yes. Phone. When he's in the shower, putting shower gel in his hair.
Keep doing it.
Shower gel.
Keep doing it. Yeah. I think that second George keeper should be another.
Killing his family.
Are they killing his own family to show that he doesn't give a shit?
Yeah. Come under the prank.
Does he want to be a Premier League footballer, doesn't he, Marcus?
Exactly. Well, does he want to warm the bench all his career?
Yeah.
I fear that his Premier League status will be taken away from him.
Or does he want to warm his hands on Lloris's house? Oh.
Lloris wakes
fire
up one morning, Gazzaniga's chopped both his hands off. Like, see a goalkeeper now, mate.
Yeah.
He's just taking a turn, everybody.
Holds his hands in training, just going, "Way." Yeah.
I've got two extra ones, don't even need them.
Yeah.
Lloris having to be like De Gea, saving everything with his feet.
Yeah, graft Lloris's hands onto the side of his body.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Yes.
Let it be like the big boss in Mortal Kombat.
Mortal Kombat.
Exactly.
Goro. Goro? Yeah.
Goro.
Yeah.
They've got him. Yeah. But I would like to make a point
about
Goro. About Alison Becker.
Yes. Looks like he's just woken up. Always.
He does, yeah.
Yeah.
But wasn't he's always in that video.
Alert. He's always alert. For Liverpool fans, they will love seeing him back here between the sticks. Now, Adrian did well. There was the odd mistake. But you think to yourself about that sort of title winning business. And Klopp played down the title as he should and as he will.
Because he knows Leicester are on the verge.
Well, he knows that Leicester need to be put away. And that's going to take the whole season to try and do that.
Yeah, but he doesn't want to wake up Jamie Vardy.
No, certainly. No. But what do you think of Jamie Vardy? He's excellent. He's really, really, really good. Well, he's a Premier League winner, of course. Jim knows how to win it. But Alisson Becker, with regards to, you know, Liverpool hardly dropping any points, obviously that's that period where they go away to the Club World Cup that we spoke about. But if your opposition, you know, Alisson Becker coming into that side gives them so much because he is possibly the best goalkeeper in the world right now, certainly among the best. And so for a period of time when he wasn't there and Adrian came in, who's a perfectly decent Premier League goalkeeper, they didn't lose any points, so they're even better. I know he's been in there, it's not his first game, but
even better.
Even better.
If you're a Liverpool fan, are you thinking, get me miles away from it, as far away as possible from that Club World Cup? I don't want the team going anywhere near it.
No, absolutely.
Given their situation and how long it's taken them to win the league, I mean, surely you don't want them anywhere near that.
No. Get Adrian in for that one.
Yes, just send him to do it on his own.
From, maybe, I don't know. Let's move on to Chelsea beating Burnley 4-2 away. Another win for Lampard. He was absolutely delighted with his team.
And rightly so.
Yeah, absolutely. But in the post-match interview, when he was asked, he's trying to keep that kind of typical sort of manager sort of poker face, you know. Mm. And then he just couldn't stop smiling, going, I just thought we were brilliant. And I thought, God, I can't hold that against anybody.
Absolutely. They've won their last seven games.
Yes.
And these are the kind of matches that they should be winning. Burnley, like to a lesser extent, Newcastle and stuff like that. It's looking pretty good for Lampard. Yeah. Newcastle are always to a lesser extent. It's not.
The Burnley away.
It's not as
harder.
Impressive to beat Newcastle.
Yes, I see. It's
not that hard, Marcus.
I thought you were saying the opposite.
No, I thought as well. Yeah, I thought that as well. You phrased it in quite a strange way, Peter.
Yeah.
That doesn't sound like me.
But you know.
But you're right, Pete.
You know, I was just going to say, you know that apart from the first, it was weird because the first 10 minutes Burnley were quite decent. Well, and the last 10 minutes Burnley were decent. Mm-hmm. But Chelsea dominated everything in between.
But they put it to bed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's great. Pleased for Pulisic as well.
It was a really great hat-trick. I mean, obviously there's a deflection in there and whatnot, but it was excellent. And what a great thing for him to hang his hat on, like to be able to actually, it feels like he's just part of that setup now and an extra asset for Lampard. He's got so many options there. And the goals as well were, obviously the Jay Rodriguez goal was fantastic. And Dwight McNeil's had a bit of a tricky deflection on it, didn't it? So one of the criticisms that everyone had of Chelsea at the start and why they started off being so entertaining was they looked like they were going to concede a lot of goals as well. But Lampard seems to very quickly tighten that up. I think those two goals in this game are a little bit of an anomaly.
Yeah. Well, they kind of switched off a bit. Yeah. They'd won
but
the
Rodriguez's
game,
goal, I mean.
It's a beauty, yeah.
You can't really.
But they didn't get out to him, did they?
No, I mean, you can always find something, or usually find something. Yeah. But I mean, a few minutes to go.
Gary Neville went through that phase where he was complaining about every goal. He ended up getting himself up with such a knot. He said that our goalkeeper should save every shot.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah,
it's mad.
Every game should be nil-nil.
It's like when Souness called the 6 yard box the goalkeeper's small box. Yeah, they get tied up in knots sometimes.
Well, because you're talking that much on television, it's going to happen.
Yeah.
Kieran on the emails asks whether this is a doubly perfect hat trick because he scored his three goals consecutively without any other goals coming between them, and he scored left, right and head in that order as well. Is it doubly perfect?
I think so.
Yeah, that's good.
Doubly perfect.
And the header was great because he literally just threw any part of his head at
it. It was a lovely
but
one.
It's great for Pulisic. We were talking last week, weren't we, about the fact that there's been talk about whether he'll go on loan, yet he forces his way into the side essentially by coming on and setting up that goal for Batshuayi in the Champions League and a crucial 1-0 away win. Then he forces his way into the team and gets a hat trick. He obviously can't leave him out now.
Yeah, I don't think he was. I think it would have been very, very unlikely if he was going to go on loan. I think the only reason why he may well have done is that, you know, if we fast forwarded a couple of months and he was hardly playing and he was like, for crying out loud, you know, I've got to play some kind of football. But Lampard mentioned about his tiredness and whatnot. And I think he's been bringing him sort of slowly but surely into the side.
He didn't have much of a pre-season, did he? Lampard did a very good piece in The Athletic about Lampard's management.
Like a week off or something, didn't he?
Exactly.
Yeah. They've got, I mean, they started five young English players featured in that Chelsea game, which is amazing, really.
Callum Hudson-Odoi was booked for diving by the referee. Sean Dyche wasn't happy with all that. I mean, it was funny because Sean Dyche said he immediately went for the dive and said it's absolute disgrace, blah 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 blah. And obviously, we don't want to see diving. And then at the end of the interview, he said, "Like, I don't want to derail this and sort of deflect from Chelsea's really, really good performance. And I thought to myself, you sort of have, but fair play. If you've got a bee in your bonnet, get it out, Sean. Yeah. Don't want you going home with that in your mind.
No, exactly. That's the main thing.
Exactly. Yeah. But you know, I understand Dyche's gripe.
I do think it's unrealistic to suggest that, I mean, because Jim, just to pick up on something you said a second ago, which is that Chelsea seemed to have sorted their defensive thing out. I think it will ebb and flow, which is just the nature of a young team new manager. It happened at Derby a lot. They go through phases where they concede loads of goals. So I think that will happen. But the most important thing is, I mean, it doesn't really matter if they've won 7 games in a row. I mean, if you keep winning games, it doesn't really matter, does it?
No, and the biggest feather in their cap at the moment is they're on 20 points, same as Leicester City.
Ooh. No, I mean, they could, it's dream stuff, isn't it?
Yeah.
They could only have dreamed of it.
Keeping pace with them, Jim.
So I wonder if it'll be Leicester and Chelsea kind of
battling out
for third. Who knows? There'll
be
twists and turns yet.
There certainly will be, just like this podcast. And now it's time for a break.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, to get 30, to get 20, 20, 20, to get 20, 20, to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We're nearly at the end of the Premier League season, so I'm pretty drained. So many tense matches, and some not so tense, as well as point deductions, a battle for the title, and teams on the brink of relegation. All that suspense has me needing a well-deserved break. With the year in full swing, it can be easy to get swept up in work, social engagements, even keeping up with all this football, and we can spread ourselves too thin. But with therapy, you can learn to prioritise your time and really recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
Welcome back, everybody. Luke Moore, why don't you tell us about RambleLive.com?
Oh, yes. The shows are running out thick and fast now. We're in Norwich on Halloween on Thursday.
Ooh.
Then we go to Birmingham on the Friday. Then we go to Salford on the Saturday. That is the last chance in the foreseeable future you're going to get to see us in England. Yeah, yeah. So if you want to come, there's still some tickets available, RambleLive.com. Thank you to the people of Leeds and Newcastle who turned out in their hundreds and gave us a great night. And we hope we gave them a passable night too.
Yeah, I just want to say on this that it was really bloody lovely that there's Leeds and Newcastle.
Yeah, it's great.
As well. Really, really good. Thank you very much, everybody. And I mean, so many of you will have seen us live. Many of you won't have done. And as Luke says, for the foreseeable future, you know, we've done, you know, certainly for us, our standards, it's quite an extensive tour of England.
Yeah, that's right.
Do get involved, by the way, because there are a handful of tickets left in some of these shows. And often people come and say, and I'm going to sound a little bit self-indulgent now, but they say, Marcus, you are fantastic. No, they say, because it's a different.
When
it's
you get a chat show.
It's not the podcast live. It is a show.
Yeah, exactly.
A football ramble show. It's a different experience. And
so my mum and dad were saying.
Yeah, exactly. And I think people sort of come along and go, oh, right, if I'd have known it was like this.
Oh, someone said to me after the Newcastle show, I came along, I'm a big fan of the show, but I was nervous because I didn't know how it was going to work on stage.
Yeah.
He knows now.
He knows now.
Yeah. It doesn't work.
A belly full of laughs.
It's ramblelive.com to get tickets. Of course, the week after that, we're doing New York City two nights, and then we're doing Toronto and then Chicago. So our friends over over the other side of the Atlantic. Come see us as well, ramblelive.com. And I must also very quickly, if I may, do a Betway 4 to score update. It's another rollover.
Yeah, we
this weekend
well.
Coming is £225,000 is the jackpot. It's completely free to play. All you need to do is go to betway.com/4to score. Pick your four first goal scorers from the four games that Betway have selected, and you could be in with a chance of winning £225,000. Jamal Lascelles and Socrates killed it for us and for everyone last weekend. We went for Mane and Pukki, didn't we?
Yeah.
Townsend and Mane for those two games, but they killed it. So it's all to play for next week. £225,000. Tune in on Thursday to hear our selections for that one. That's betway.com/4to score.
And now it's time for emails with PTD. Email show at footballrambledaily.com.
And now Pete is reading it out. Well done. Well done. On the Football Ramble Live situation, dear Ramblers, this is from Lean. Hello, Lean. As a long time listener to the show, I'm very curious to see what you all look like in the flesh. So I bought myself a ticket to the Ramble Live show in Antwerp on April 17th next year. She just wants to look at us. Just want to see what we look like.
Some sort of Victorian freak show.
Yeah, I was thinking more like Magic Mike, but no, mate. Being a female football fan, I'm used to going to games as the only woman in the group, but finding company to the live show proved to be very hard, let alone finding a female friend to go with. Should any of you happen to know any Belgian women going to the show in Antwerp, I'd love to get into contact with them to share my love for the game and, of course, my favourite England-based football podcast. See you in Antwerp. Greetings from a Belgian Spurs fan. Lean, if anybody is in Flanders, isn't it? Flanders.
We're doing some shows next year.
Flanders
in,
females.
In Europe, and Antwerp is one of them. RambleLive.com is the place for those tickets as well.
Get in touch. We'll hook you up. Justin says, it was mentioned on the show on Friday that Pete will be wearing a Halloween costume for your show in Norwich. Please tell me it's a ghost with a green and yellow number 22 on the back and your Timu spooky.
Nice.
Quiet week, eh?
Certainly been quite a week for Pookie. It's been quite a month for Pookie.
Yeah. We shouldn't have said he was going to score. Ed, hello, Ramblers. During last week's loss against Sheffield United, Deeney gave Freddie Ljungberg a yellow for berating the fourth official. Almost 13 years since Master Mike Dean gave Ljungberg a yellow in a 3-1 loss away at Bolton. Do you think this is the longest period between yellow cards from a player/ref combination?
It must
Very
be.
Enjoyable.
Jody Morris was another one, wasn't he?
Was he?
Jody Morris got booked by...
But that was in Europe, though.
It so was.
It won't have been an English ref.
No, it was, but I think he would have been a longer amount of time between bookings.
Right.
Because he's older.
Yeah.
Oh, you mean by the same referee, though?
Oh, no, not the same referee, no. To be honest, well, because I was only half listening to that.
Pay attention. Kieran O'Donoghue. Hello, Kieran. I'm from Sydney, Australia. I remember, actually, we mentioned that a little early on, so we don't need to put that in the show right now. It was about the perfect hat trick. He thinks it's a perfect hat trick.
Yeah.
And we're done with the email section. I'm going to press this jingle. Bye-bye.
Because you did one of your emails before the email section.
Yeah. That was a better place to put it, all right?
Yeah, no, fair enough.
That's fine.
I've got no beef.
Well done indeed.
I had beef yesterday, but I haven't got any beef.
What kind of beef? What do you have?
Roast beef and horseradish, mate.
Oh, nice. Cream of horseradish or just normal horseradish?
Cream of horseradish.
Nice! Do you remember when cream of horseradish? It was when cream of horseradish came in around about the same time as cloudy lemonade appeared.
Right.
In the Donaldson household.
Yeah.
When it was in quick save.
In, out in the,
couldn't
out
come
the,
off the shelves quick enough.
You what, asked us if we remember that.
Yeah. Jim, do you remember being in my house in 1995?
What was it Pete called his pantry?
The courtyard.
The courtyard. Keep it in the courtyard.
Little courtyard.
Keep the cloud of lemonade in the courtyard at Christmas.
With my courtiers.
Yeah. It was lovely to meet your mum and dad, by the way.
Yeah.
First time we met them.
My dad's also aware. He reckons it's because he doesn't want to go on statins. But
lovely parents.
I will be going through his medicine cabinet.
They are such nice people.
They must be so disappointed.
Yeah.
What do you mean? Outrageous.
I'm such a strange creature.
As I said at the Newcastle show, I looked up at my dad and it looked like Bill Elliott's dad looking down, disappointed in what his son is doing.
And I think that they can find solace in the fact that they also have a daughter.
Yeah. Absolutely right.
Who's and provided them with a grandchild.
Yes. Uh-huh.
Yeah. Well, were they as disappointed as those Arsenal fans, Peter?
Yeah.
Rubbish.
Because Arsenal drew 2-2. They threw away a 2-goal lead at home to Crystal Palace. But that's Palace for you,
that's
see.
That's Palace for
and
you.
And this is what I said, you know, against Manchester City when Benteke had that header. That was the moment. But Man City
were for some tips from
well, I love what you've done.
I love this. You look through the headlines on Monday morning of this game and it'll be Emery on the brink, Xhaka boozes, tells his own fans to F off, goes to the ramble, great result for Roy.
Well, no, actually, at the top of the show, I said Palace drop points.
Yeah, I did. Yeah, they'll be disappointed that, won't they?
And they were a little bit disappointed. But I suppose, though, Arsenal, you know, when all said and done, they probably are a superior side to Crystal Palace. Mm. And they were 2-0 up. So, you know, probably more a point gained by Palace. But Arsenal, Jim.
You were at the game, were you not, Jimbo?
More of the same.
It was a bad evening for Arsenal. It truly, truly was. I was having a bad weekend
evening.
Anyway, right?
Good evening.
I very much didn't tell any of you about this at the weekend because I wanted to didn't want to take away your opportunity to react to it live. On Saturday night, thought I'd have a quiet night in, ordered a pizza, feeling lazy. As I'm walking up the stairs, the pizza slips out of my hand.
Oh, Jim.
To try and save the pizza, I lose my balance and smash my funny bone into a window frame, spend the evening in A&E, have it x-rayed, and the nurse says, it's just a really bad bang. So,
wow.
Yeah, I was having a bad, stupid weekend.
How long were you in A&E for?
About 3 hours.
I'm not being funny, yeah. Jim. You do go to the hospital quite a lot.
I know.
You went for a spelk last time.
Yeah.
A spelk?
A spelk.
Yeah, like a thing in your finger.
A splinter.
A splinter. I did go, but the people on bloody NHS Direct told me to, right? And like, I even said, are you sure? And I said, yeah, that's what it says here.
They're always going to say that. I've just got a bit of a cough. Yeah, get down there.
So anyway, stop bothering triage. So anyway, that's what I'm saying.
I can't move my arm properly and I'm looking forward to going to the game. And that was naive, wasn't it? That was naive. Even at 2-0.
Did you lose the pizza?
No, the pizza was fine, actually. I want to make it very clear as well. I don't blame the pizza. Pizza and I have a long-standing relationship that can never be broken.
You didn't lose the pizza, so it doesn't sound like it was that much of a disaster.
Just a bad
wasn't.
Bang.
It wasn't. It was exactly. It was just a bad
bang.
You need to stop putting so much pressure on the NHS.
yeah, fair.
What was on the pizza?
I went. Yeah,
let's fucking get away draw from a line
that.
Under that.
Yeah. Yes.
Why? I wonder what's on pizza.
We got a captain of Arsenal booing his own fans.
So let's start with that, right?
Shaka wasn't booing the Arsenal fans.
He might as well have been.
Boo!
He told the fuck off.
He told the fuck off. It's far worse.
That's the ultimate boo. That's a big bang.
So to start with the Xhaka situation. Now his name was mildly jeered when it was read out before the game and in a game against Aston Villa as well.
Come on, boys, let's give him a mild jeering.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, let's show the riffraff in the away end how to behave with some quiet decorum. He was jeered off the pitch in that game as well. His substitution was celebrated, and I think one of the things that you have to think about as well is what football fans are like off the pitch now. And Granit Xhaka has a new baby, and some of the comments on his Instagram when he posted a picture of him with his new baby sleeping on him recently said, I hope this means you're on paternity leave. One says, please don't play. These are obviously a lot of the milder ones. And that is a man trying to share a very, very like personal moment that has nothing to do with football. And I know you put stuff out there and you invite comments on it, but I think the way a lot of modern football fans behave on the internet is so frustrating. And I think this reaction comes as much from that as it did in the stadium. And I think Xhaka probably should have done better to stop James McArthur. But he assisted Socrates' goal.
Yep.
And it's not like he had a particularly bad game. And I really felt for him in the moment. That said, the reaction's ridiculous. There's going to be repercussions, but I feel like that is the reaction of a man who doesn't care, who's sort of at the end of his tether.
It's been reported today that a couple of his teammates have gone to see him.
Yeah, he's very popular apparently.
What's that noise?
Can you hear a magical noise?
Whose phone's gone off? It's not mine. Who knows what's happening
there?
It's the WhatsApp phone.
It's the WhatsApp phone.
Taking a call
for our Patreon listeners.
Answer it.
Well, who's got the number?
Don't answer that.
Why?
Because it'll this be bad
weird.
News.
Yeah, amazing. All right, anyway. There's talk today that, thanks to our Patreon listeners, by the way.
Yeah.
Patreon.com/footballrambledaily.
You're recording us. Saying F off.
You can have a chance to call us, like Granit Xhaka is now, yeah. There's talk that, it's been reported today that some teammates have gone around there to talk to him. Yeah. And
he's very popular in the dressing room.
I'm sure he is. And it'll blow over, I'm sure. I think people are going a bit over the top saying, he played his last game for the club. I don't think that's the case.
I've had 1 hour sleep.
Yeah, well, exactly. I think
genuinely
that might be a big part of it, but I think so much of this is of Emery's doing. Like this whole five captains thing is absurd.
Well, what I was just going to go on to say was, because it is relevant to this, is just that there's been some talk apparently. So David Ornstein did a really interesting piece on it, said that there are some players in the dressing room who feel like the instructions that they've been given are unclear. Mm-hmm. They don't really know what type of football they're supposed to be playing, and so that's kind of a contributing factor to it as well. But I don't know if you guys feel this way. I'd be interested in your thoughts on this. If you were going to cross over the line and roundly boo your team's captain when he gets subbed off, You're entitled to do that. I mean, you've paid your money, but don't complain if he gives you a bit back.
Well, yeah.
I think that's absolute bullshit. I think it's absolutely hypocritical nonsense to complain about the way he's behaved.
How dare you?
I feel really sorry for Xhaka.
So I do feel, though, by trudging off the pitch incredibly slowly in a game where Crystal Palace were employing some time-wasting tactics and, you know, it was in a quite urgent situation, that was silly. I think
it's piss poor of the Arsenal fans to boo him, to be perfectly honest with you. And I have real sympathy for Xhaka. Can you imagine a whole stadium booing it now?
Of course. I don't have to. I was there.
Yeah.
I saw it.
Well,
But Marcus,
but being in the thick of that, I mean, of course you're going to. I mean,
the way the atmosphere is, Marcus, what about this? If he jogged off really quickly, people go, look at him, he can't wait to get off.
Yeah, I know. This is the thing.
There's just that feeling at the moment, isn't there?
Can I interest you in this scene that somebody tweeted out saying, oh, this is such a disgusting display from Arsenal? And then you sort of zoom in. Behind Emery's head, and someone is wearing an Arsenal robe.
Oh, yeah, Arsenal dressing gown.
Like a toweling, super soft fleece dressing gown that you can buy on the Arsenal site.
Yeah.
Interesting.
I understand that Arsenal fans getting a bit annoyed with Xhaka and so on, but is it really him who is the problem?
Well,
is
his robe feel like really acceptable?
Mustafi might need a run in the team to take a bit of pressure off of him, but I think like Mustafi was the lightning rod for all of this last season and it's now moved on to Xhaka, and I think there's a generation of Arsenal fans who've never known anything but frustration.
Yeah.
Maybe it's how they show their love. But
I just think that when teams are global, not superpowers, but they're in Europe pretty much every year. I know they've had a couple of years out and stuff, but like, everyone's got a bloody opinion on Arsenal. Everyone's got a bloody opinion on Manchester United. The players just can't win.
They're a big club. But you have to wonder what, for example, Martinelli's got to do to get a run in the team after playing so well in Europa.
Well,
you have to wonder what type of football Arsenal play. It's very difficult to put your finger on that.
Yeah, there is. I think there's an issue with the Europa League players, which is because the games come so thick and fast. If they play on a Thursday, it's hard to play them on a Sunday, and some of them are getting stuck in that cycle. That's why Kieran Tierney came off, I would think.
Martinelli's 18.
He is, but, you know, I mean, that doesn't mean you don't need to be managed in that sort of way. So, yeah, I mean, I'd like to see a little bit more of him as well. We didn't even make it off the bench the other day, but I think this is it. It's so confusing under Emery, and his management of this situation with Mesut Ozil in particular is really poor. He's the senior one there. You know, he's clearly, it seems like Ozil's being frozen out probably because he's earning so much money that they want to get shot. But what that team is crying out for is a playmaker. Now, Josh, friend of the Ramble, who I went to the game with, made the point that, with, you know, two goals and a disallowed goal, which we'll come on to from set pieces, shows that this is the team that needs a playmaker. Dani Ceballos is not quite that sort of player. He carries the ball very well and he's very good at distributing it, but he's not really someone that you have in that hole. And Ozil is the only realistic candidate for that. Mm. And it's just, sort it out. Manage the situation.
What about that, Wilfried Zaha business where he was given a penalty and was overturned? Yeah.
I thought it was a penalty in the moment, I have to say.
It's like the referees, VAR's gone mad again. It's like people have complained for so long that nothing's been overturned because the threshold's too high. Now everything's been overturned.
Yeah.
How you can say that Keane penalty, again in the Brighton game, that the Zaha one and all these ones were more clear and obvious than the one on, that was a Watford player the week before.
Mm. Yeah.
I mean, it's absolutely ridiculous.
There seems to be no consistency with
apparently,
it as well.
Apparently, I think it's the chairman or, anyway, the top brass representative of each Premier League club are meeting in their biannual meeting this week. And I think high on the agenda is going to be VAR. I think there's going to be a lot of complaints.
It's just going to be like, it's gone all right.
Who's enjoying
apparently
it?
They believe that they think it is going all right. And there's absolutely nothing in the rules from the Premier League that stop referees going over to the pitch side monitor. So I don't know why the fourth official doesn't do that. Just get an extra pair of eyes on it.
Well, to be honest with you, I'm quite glad that the referees are not going. I thought about this on the weekend. I'm glad the referees aren't going over to check the TV, because the person who takes the heat is not in the stadium. Mm. And the last thing we need is more heat on the referees. And if the referee goes over and checks the monitor and decides, no, I'm going to give that as a penalty, then he goes, well, how can he do that? He's bloody seen it, blah, blah, blah. I think it makes the whole thing worse. So this crying out for the referee to go and watch the monitor, I don't think that should happen.
I don't understand that the referee's kind of authority is being challenged when, if a fourth official spots something, your authority's already getting mugged off by the fact that the guy's bloody close.
Exactly.
He's kicking it down the road, aren't you?
Was it the Arsenal Palace game when Mike Dean was for the VAR ref?
Yeah. He had a busy weekend, old
Dean. Take it up with Deeney.
Absolutely.
There's a point to be made on this, I think, because I think if you look at the Zaha one, the Keane one, there's one or two others as well. And particularly, by the way, I think the Bertrand sending off as well in the Southampton game. You look at, that was sent off by VAR, wasn't it? He looked at that That's again. I think you have to, I mean, there's a part of it when it comes to red cards where if you look at it in slow motion, it looks dreadful.
Yeah.
But the referee has to refer it in the context of the game. The only way you could sort of argue differently is if the referee is explicitly saying to the VAR official, I didn't see it.
Yeah.
You need to help me here. And then I think he's got to look at the monitor. Mm. But I think in the natural ebb and flow of the game, if the referee's got a good view of it, I don't even know if you need the VAR. I just don't know if you need it.
You either have it or you don't. So if the referee says, unless you have a sort of a cricket situation where you have two challenges or something, but then it gets a bit sort of funny. I thought the Socrates goal that was chalked off.
Decision.
The worst decision.
But I can see how that's given as a foul.
Obviously, my hat is by.
Really?
Yes, absolutely.
Are you serious?
Yes, to me, that's a fact. Milivojevic, his leg is taken away from him.
He's been bundled into all over the place. Look, Chambers. I mean, I think there's argument Chambers has fouled himself.
But you're both missing the point entirely anyway. You're both completely missing the point because the VAR situation. Well, you are, because the VAR situation is if it's clear and obvious.
Yeah,
and it's not clear and obvious.
Well, it's
not a VAR decision
to me. But to me, it was quite obvious that he was fouled.
No, I think, Mark, I think that's absolute nonsense.
Yes, I'm tearing my top off.
I understand you, but you can see that Chambers clearly
so
takes.
I don't think there's anything clear about it. I would agree with Luke on that, and I think it's not a foul. It's not a foul.
Well,
at all.
This is the point of
you're the only person I've seen make that point as well. After it,
I haven't seen anyone else
seen in your land of milk and honey.
I see.
I haven't seen anyone else say that either. But it doesn't mean it's not a valid opinion.
To me,
have you watched the wrong highlights? Is this an earlier South Korea North Korea game?
You know who you sound like? The people on the internet.
Do I?
Yeah. The reason why I think I can understand why it was given as a foul was because Milivojevic says he's trying to get the ball away. Chambers fouls and there's a foul on his left leg, which was standing. But of course, if it wasn't, if the goal was allowed to stand, I wouldn't have any complaints with it either, because it was a bit of a tricky one. But I can understand why it was given as a foul. But this is the thing. With football, the decisions are not obvious like they are. Did the ball cross the line or was it LBW?
Especially when that
is
supposed to be the usage of VAR, as Luke says.
If you can one hand say it was obvious and then say, but if it wasn't given as a foul, you would understand, then surely it can go either way. So it's not acceptable to be reviewed by VAR then. Mm. That's not what VAR was designed for.
This is the thing. I mean, yeah, exactly. This feeds into this debate, which we trust the people in their bi-yearly meeting.
You wonder whether what they need to do is roll it back, say we're going to bring it in for offsides only, and we're going to get that right, we're going to smooth that out, and then we'll think about moving it into that. And you do it in a kind of creeping way to make it interesting but to make it solid before you just go, right, we're going to use it for everything all the time. Mm. Because, I mean, the Keane one, the Michael Keane one, you can understand.
It does stand on it.
Sure. And so you can understand referee perhaps giving a foul, not giving a foul. Mm. But that doesn't make it clear and obvious. No. That's not what we were told it was designed for.
I think the words clear and obvious, they've made a rough of their own back. Mm,
they have, yeah.
And they seem to be ignoring that as well. Yeah, I think what's happened is it's gone to the VAR referee, and that's Mike Dean, and his verdict is Arsenal absolutely do not deserve to win this game. Chalk that off.
I wasn't clattering on.
One thing we should say is...
put your top back on, Pete.
Okay, put a top back on now.
Yeah. Manchester United were a lot improved against Norwich City. They really were good. But old Tim Krul.
Yes, lovely.
Now, people are saying... But
he's
VAR,
the penalty star.
Well, people are saying VAR should have... He moved off his line. They stipulated... Yeah. VAR will not be used to pull up keepers going jumping off their line, so that's why if you have a problem with that.
The first one, he was definitely off his line.
But two great sets. We know he's a good penalty stopper, Peter.
You he saw came him on against Costa Rica.
Exactly, in the World Cup in 2014, all those years ago. But you saw him a lot at Newcastle, and you love a bit of Krulo.
I think he's an excellent goalkeeper, although his delivery is not great.
Don't be cruel.
Did you see what Daniel Farke said after the game?
We didn't do the topics well.
It was along those lines, actually. Oh. So he said, we were not major enough in the first half.
Wow.
I love that.
Well, I tell you
it's
something.
Like happy, like major, minor key kind of thing.
Well, look, we're in Norwich on Thursday night, and one or two Ipswich fans might think, oh, they're going to take the piss out of us, so I won't go. Well, Ipswich, you know, you're flying high.
Yeah.
And Norwich are losing games, you know.
Exactly. So what would you rather have?
Exactly. Mm. So there you are, you see. But yeah, well done, Tim Krul. Let's go to the Championship, shall we? There was a derby. There was a couple of derbies there. Preston North End beating Blackburn Rovers 3-2. Big win for Preston. They're on 25 points, just ahead of Leeds on goal difference. And they're 2 points behind Billich's West Brom. Preston going well. Could they get into the Premier League, into England's top flight for the first time in a very long time?
Well, Alex Neil was unhappy with their first half performance, and of course they turned it around and won the game in the end. He's an interesting character, Alex Neil. He came in, he started managing Hamilton Accies at a very young age. He was like just about 30.
Well, he's still quite young now.
He is, exactly. And then obviously Norwich poached him. He got them promoted to the Premier League. They went down at first time of asking, and he was treated very harshly. And this is something I'm missing here. Norwich fans will be able to tell me. But I think they were eighth in the table after being relegated that he got sacked. Mm. And obviously, he went on to manage Preston a few months later. And they're doing pretty well. I mean, I think he's still in his 30s now, old Nilo. Yeah. I was just checking. He's 38.
Nilo.
So he's exciting, still an exciting young manager. And I think if he could deliver them some kind of playoff finish or something like that, I think that'd be very decent.
To be honest, like starting the game like as they did, like Rudd scoring an own goal in the first minute. Like, yeah. This is less than optimal.
Yeah, right. A lovely winning goal, though.
It was.
But yeah, they're second in the league. They're on the same points as Leeds and Swansea City. It's packed in there. It's packed.
Mm. As you'd expect this time of the season.
5 points separate first and 11th.
One of the great things about the Championship table when you look at it, obviously if you look at the Premier League table and you've got the form, it's one that has the form table. You know, the top teams tend to be, there's a lot of green, there's a lot of wind in there.
Yes.
But in the Championship table, it's really not like that.
No,
it's sort of scattered about everywhere, even at the top.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, there's so many teams, Sheffield Wednesday and Bristol and Fulham, QPR. But Sheffield Wednesday themselves, they drew 0-0 with Leeds on the weekend, the Yorkshire Derby, or a Yorkshire Derby, depending on where you are there. Two great performances from the keepers, though. They were absolutely brilliant. It was disappointing, though, that there wasn't a goal. But when the goalkeepers are in that kind of form, gentlemen...
Would Fulham be disappointed to not get a win at Middlesbrough?
Fulham will be delighted with a point.
You ready?
Considering their goalkeeper was sent off after about 15, 20 minutes.
Was he? Okay.
Yeah,
that's a brilliant point.
Really well, then.
Yeah, exactly. It's a brilliant point. I didn't see the game.
I mean, I think Mitro had a chance, but... yeah, Middlesbrough. I think Fulham just thought, right, let's just contain them, you know, because it was such a shock to the system. But Marcus Bettinelli came on, kept a clean sheet.
Carried on
the clean sheet.
Because I laughed at Southampton so much, Portsmouth were able to grab a draw from the hands of a victory with a last-minute own goal from their goalkeeper. So
probably nice. Worth it, though. You'd probably swap that.
Yeah.
Yeah, you would have taken that weekend, wouldn't you?
Normal services resumed.
Indeed, absolutely.
Oh, yeah, did you guys see that... Chris Kamara is bringing out a Christmas album.
Oh, wow. No. Tis the season.
Yeah. So a little bit of the troubly.
I know it might be. I know it might be surprising to some, said Chris. But anyone who knows me will tell you that I'm a big fan of big band music.
Yeah, oh yeah,
right, okay.
So he's got an album coming out called Here's to Christmas. I'm not recommending you buy it. It's not a plug. I'm just sort of putting it out.
I like
there.
To think this is funded by his friend Steve Gibson. He got a school with the Middlesbrough chairman.
Might well be. Yeah. But he's got a proper recording contract and everything. And the reason you can't be angry with Chris is because he's enthusiastic and really excited about everything he does, isn't he? Yeah. He's got a bit of the Ian Wright about him in that way. Mm. And so good on him. That's what I say.
Cammy Davis Jr.
Yeah.
Nice. Why not, eh? Why not?
Exactly, Mark. It's very good.
Indeed, indeed. Yeah. Peter.
Hello.
Did you see the story about Mike Ashley?
Oh, I saw it.
I did see the story of Mike Ashley.
I'd love to know your thoughts.
Mike Ashley wanted a meeting with Donald Trump, it turns out.
Yeah,
which I am fairly certain he probably would have got with just a Newcastle shirt with Trump written on the back.
Yeah,
because he
likes
the red carpet rolled out. He likes all that bollocks.
So it came through Giuliani, didn't it?
Yeah, I think he had a meeting set up with Rudy Giuliani.
And
but...
it's about, because isn't Giuliani consulting for a firm that Ashley's in talks with? Regarding a takeover of an American sports brand. Yeah,
yeah. I mean, let's be honest, just before we go to the States and Canada to do our shows out there, this has come as welcome news, has it?
Yeah, hasn't it? But it would have been a real meeting of minds, because of course, Mike Ashley, famous power drinker, Donald Trump,
doesn't drink
famously teetotal.
Yeah. So, yeah. Lots of Sudafed, though.
But do you not think, though, if Mike Ashley was out on the piss with Donald... Oh, no, he wouldn't be if they were having a meeting. Mike Ashley would still want to throw up in a fireplace. Right, I think Trump would rise to that.
I think it bears comparison with famous power drinker Pete Donaldson and famous teetotaler Marcus Brothers. Yeah, so you're a Donald Trump of the show.
He matches me tango to Stella, does Spellsy. Yeah.
Would you rather be Donald Trump or Mike Ashley?
annoyingly, you have to go with Ashley.
You do, don't you?
Which is a rare situation.
Yeah.
How about you, Pete?
Well,
President of the free world. Come on, Donnie, you're having that.
Think of the power.
With Mike Ashley. Think of the power drinking.
Think of the power in the Northeast.
Yeah.
You could drink so much more if you were Ashley.
There we go.
Did you see those two Liverpool fans who spent the evening watching Liverpool beat Genk on TV in Ghent.
Nice.
And they went to the wrong city by mistake.
Oh, dear.
Yeah,
I think
not
Belgium,
ideal, is
it? I did see the story, and they're 80 miles apart, the two towns.
Yeah.
I think they need to sort their admin out, because that is very, very,
very
similar.
Poor. Yeah. Yeah.
I'm surprised more people didn't do that, actually.
It happened, Marcus, do you remember, this is a very niche kind of mention, but very, very quickly. There was some kind of performing act that was supposed to happen at our student union, and they went to Farnborough, Kent, instead of Farnborough in Hampshire. It can happen.
It can happen.
There's lots of places with the same names. You've got to get your admin right, Belgium could perhaps help them out.
But they are different names, though.
Yeah. True.
They are.
To be fair, they've looked at the first three letters and gone, it's fine.
Yeah, that'll do.
To be fair, KAA Ghent were playing Wolfsburg in Europa League the next evening, and they extended an invitation to them to attend the match. I don't know if they took that up, but that's nice, isn't it?
That is nice.
Yeah.
Can I list my favourite Belgian cities?
No. Yes.
Ghent, sure. Then probably Antwerp, then Bruges.
Hang on, probably.
Bruges. No, then
you
Brussels,
said it
then
like
Bruges.
You'd already sort of formalised this, and I'm dying to say this, and then you're a bit...
Ghent... Antwerp,
yes.
Brussels,
right.
Bruges.
Brussels ahead of Bruges?
Yeah.
You're mad.
What I do?
Bruges is the best city in Belgium by a million miles. Million miles.
I'm not so been, too touristy.
I've not been to any.
Bit obvious, mate. So. Yeah.
Too many alcoves?
Sometimes they're obvious for a reason.
The thing is, Pete, you only spend your time between an Airbnb and an indie bar.
Yeah.
So it doesn't matter if it's too touristy, does it?
Well, to be fair, loads. It was Pete's ranking.
It's your list, to be fair. It's your list.
It's your ranking.
Bruges, and then literally
and
nowhere
then
else.
Been nowhere else.
Yeah, no, I have. I've been to a few different places. They're all boring.
Don't tell about Antwerp.
No, we're going to jazz it up by going to Antwerp. RambleLive.com and get your tickets. See how we do it.
Damn right. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, let us leave you now before we offend Belgians
anymore.
Because there's a lot going on there at the moment. Thank you very much, Luke Moore.
Thank you.
Thank you, Pete Donaldson.
Oh, we're leaving already?
Yeah.
All right, then.
There we are. Thank you, Jim Campbell.
Thank you.
Thank you, listeners.
Jim, what was on that pizza? Seriously.
It was the Texas barbecue.
Thank you.
This was a Stakhanov production.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember. Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.